In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A few weeks ago, we were marching along through St. Mark's Gospel, and we marched so far as we were following this huge crowd into a lonely place, a desolate place. And at that point, we witnessed the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 from 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Then we took a break, and St. John the Evangelist comes along to fill in the blanks, to help us out, to tell us everything else that Jesus said, to teach the people what was going on when he did this, to bring to their minds ultimately the Passover, the gospel of the cross of salvation. And so through John's gospel, he did that with his famous bread of life discourse. We thank John now that he leaves the scene, stage left, for filling us in on that great mystery of Jesus as the bread of life come from heaven, and Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, thank you, John. Now, where do we find ourselves? Right back where we left off. And what's going on? Bread. Still bread. The people of God were eating bread. Thing is, they were just scarfing it down, which isn't bad in itself when you're very hungry. But now enters a new element into the gospel story, and that is the opposition from the so-called leaders of the church, the official religious people of the neighborhood, the Pharisees and the scribes. They were the teachers of the law, and everybody looked up to them as being the really religious guys. And they come along, they gathered to Jesus, and they came down from Jerusalem, and they saw that some of the disciples ate that bread with hands that were defiled. Now, don't read too much in that. They weren't dirty. That is, Mark tells us, unwashed. They didn't do the ceremonial cleansing. You would do the ceremonial cleansing, especially when you came back in from the marketplace, in case you happened to defile them by accidentally or out of necessity touching a Gentile unbeliever. And so they would just pour a little water on their hands, not an awful lot, and it wasn't a big deal. It was a ceremonial deal. Well, here they were eating, disciples, without washing their hands, and Mark goes out of his way to tell us, because we don't know about these things, how the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders, and that's going to be the important point here. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat until they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, traditions such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And so the Pharisees and the scribes didn't ask the disciples. They came up and asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? Why don't you disciples seem to be following the rules? I mean, everybody does it, but not your disciples. What's going on here?" There was a little bit of accusation in their question. They weren't just asking for information, because what they were doing was they considered a great sin. So Jesus replied to them, in a different way. The Pharisees and the scribes came and they complained on the basis of the oral law. 613. Why should I, after all these years, remember that number? They came up with 613 rules. I wonder if they put it in a little book. To help the people make sure that they follow the Ten Commandments completely. Well, they come after Jesus from the oral law. Stuff that they made up. Jesus answers with the written law. And that's the key to this whole passage. The written law. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. Jesus calls them hypocrites. Well, what's a hypocrite? There's many definitions that we could cite, but one is it's someone who covers himself with a kind of a veil of piety. And boy, did these guys look pious. But why did they do that? Probably because they were afraid of the truth, which was way simpler than what they were saying. Way different. Not rules, but something else, as we'll see. These people honor me with their lips, their heart is far from me. All of us fall into that trap every once in a while. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now we could go on and on about that. Just check out your local religious bookstore. I stay away from those places. I remember how shocked I was. I was looking for a gift for my birthday gift for my wife, and I knew they had this neat painting. So I went in there to try to find this neat painting, and here's this whole wall, ceiling to floor, and way wide, and it was all by one author. Is the Holy Spirit telling me not to say the name because I can't remember it? But she used to be a Lutheran, and she's been on TV all over the place. Okay, you got it. A whole wall of these books. And what are those books? But the traditions, the commandments of men and not of God. Look at that little catechism sitting there, untouched. That's got the whole thing in it. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. All right, what's the difference between the tradition of men and the commandments of God? What do all the traditions of men add up to? What's their essence? I don't know if you could pin anything down. It took, what's her name, a whole wall to try to get it, and I don't think she still did. What is the essence of the written word of God? Love. Love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's it, where it all comes down to. He said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. Oof, I wonder how they felt. For Moses said, now Jesus then finally, he chooses one more example. And we're not going to get lost in the weeds on this because there's lots of weeds here. Honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say honor your father and mother until you graduate from high school or college or until you're married, does it? Honor your father and mother all the way. All the way. These guys we're saying, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban. Here's the weeds. It's a kind of a vow, and especially when it comes to money. Then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father and mother, thus making void the word of God, honor your father and mother, by your tradition that you have handed down, and they no longer do follow the command of God. And many such things you do. Now, where is this going to ultimately take him? The written word of God is going to win out. Yeah, they'll go back and forth with their different traditions. No one is a friend of Caesar, you know, and all this jazz that came up at his trials. But the word of God says, this is the Lamb of God. This is the suffering servant of Isaiah. This is the one who, by crucifixion, death, and resurrection, is going to take away the sin of the world, is going to make peace with God for you and for all. So ultimately, that written word of God will come true, and did come true on Calvary. And better than that, in the open tomb, and even now today, as all of that of God's love is poured out into our hearts, we, the baptized, we don't do anything to get there. He does it all, and it's all given to us as gift. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.